Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. As the SARS-CoV-2 virus continues to evolve and mutate, let's explore some of the latest findings about how well vaccines work against emerging variants, what global conversations are saying about vaccination strategies, and whether Malaysia can and should adapt to some of these new findings. Let's begin the show with our first guest tonight, Dr. Vinod Balasubramaniam. He's a senior lecturer and co-lead of the Infection and Immunity Research Strength at the Jeffrey Chia School of Medicine and Health Sciences of Monash University, Malaysia. Dr. Vinod, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Yes. I'd like to begin our conversation tonight with news that Malaysia has cut the AstraZeneca dosing interval from 12 weeks to 9 weeks. And I want to bring that up because, you know, I've come across a study by Oxford that indicates the shortening of the AstraZeneca dosing interval actually might reduce rather than enhance vaccine effectiveness. What they found is, in fact, a 10-month delay between the first and second AstraZeneca dose will actually lead to enhanced immunity response after the second dose. So I'm just wondering whether you can help us understand how dosing intervals make a difference to immunity and antibody response.
Thank you for this question, Melissa. So traditionally, if you look at vaccination, when we speak about vaccination, right, we need two doses, right? The first shot or the first dose is known as priming, where we introduce a foreign antigen to our immune system, right? And the second dose after an interval is known as boosting, basically creating, immunologic memory against a particular antigen, basically making antibodies, right? So interval is needed for our cells to recover, to learn, right? To process the antigen, right? And to build, sufficient memory antibodies, right? Neutralizing antibodies, which are efficient against the particular antigen, be it the spike protein or any other antigen, right? And sufficient interval is needed for our body to recover and to produce the antibody, right? And recent studies have shown that actually delaying the second dose creates twice or thrice as much of neutralizing antibodies when compared to 4 weeks interval. Yeah, so this is something, the government should look into and give consideration, because the previous interval was 3 months, somewhere around 12 weeks. And the recent shortening, we were announced of the recent shortening based on, I'm not really sure was it based on and why it was shortened.
So if I can just refer to some of the news reports about the reasons for shortening, and part of it seems to be a strategy to deal with the variants. Suggesting that, in fact, people with two doses did better against the Delta variant. And so there seems to be a public policy dimension to it, a kind of urgency to get more people with two doses, especially those who are vulnerable, rather than stretch out the interval period. That, I believe, is, rationale behind shortening the period. I mean, does that make sense to you from a scientific point of view?
Yeah, I would agree to a certain extent. Now, guys, we must understand that, the vaccines were developed at an unprecedented, time space, right? Within a year, we got approval. We are still learning how our body mounts response towards all these various vaccines, right? And we are learning every day on how our immune response actually builds defense against COVID-19, right? It's the data we get is real time, right? Every day the data changes, right? And we know that from recent evidence that two doses of vaccines are important to give the fullest protection, to teach the body to make antibodies, and also to trigger T cells, which are important to, kill cells which are infected, for example, right? But we must also understand, right, variants of concern, right? Variants of concern changes this equation, right? Variants of concern are COVID-19 variants, which reduces the efficacy right? Reduces the efficacy, yes. Reduces the neutralizing capabilities of antibodies produced by this vaccine.
Right. I completely agree with you, Dr. Vinod, that, you know, there's so much information coming out. You know, the virus is evolving so quickly. And what we know of the virus is coming out almost on a daily basis. This new scientific research coming out on this. I mean, not too long ago, we were talking about mixing and matching or mixing vaccine types. And I'm just wondering, I mean, whether the conversation around the mixing vaccines or the thinking behind mixing vaccines, are we past that? Is that no longer a conversation that decision makers are thinking about?
Yeah, that's really a good point. And I'm a really pro when it comes to mix and matching, judging from the recent phase 2 trials which came out, right? So traditionally we use first dose, second dose of the same brand of the vaccine. Right, basically you are showing a first picture, right, so that our body memorizes the picture, and then you show another picture, similar picture, so that our memory increases, right? Mix and matching, basically you are using heterologous, two different brands, right? The common ones are the AstraZeneca followed by Pfizer BioNTech. So basically you are showing same pictures at different angles. Right, different angles. And the data which came out, although the study is limited, the sample numbering is limited, the data is astonishing because the antibody, the protection given, right, is twice as good as, while using vaccines from the same brand, right? Apart from efficacy against the variants. So, yeah, I was really hoping the government would, give consideration on mix and matching, right, considering the benefits.
But can I just ask you then, what are the disadvantages of mixing vaccine? I know you hope that this is something the government will consider, but what are the real world considerations when it comes to this approach?
First, I would say because the study is limited, it is still not convincing certain governments, right? Namely, Malaysian government, for example. We heard that Khairi saying that, the data is still lacking. Right, because I think the number of participants in the trials were lesser than 1,000, although the data is astonishing. Right, we also know that we also need more information whether mix and matching actually induces long-term immunity. We don't know how long the antibody wanes, or we don't know how long the antibody protects. That's another thing. We also don't know whether mix and matching actually, changes or stops transmission of any strains, namely variants of concern. So these are some of the data which is still lacking. I believe, the third trial is going on, and I believe, we'll get more information very soon.
So, what is very interesting, Vinod, is that there's so much information, as you pointed, coming out, and it's perhaps premature sometimes for this information to come, because it does excite
Absolutely.
The public. And maybe it does confuse, public officials and policymakers. So from a scientific point of view, from a scientist's point of view, giving advice to a politician about policy, considering this is a crisis situation, where is the balance? Where do you say, well, this is enough information to go on considering it's a thing, or should you take a more cautious approach and say, well, we really shouldn't until we get the full picture?
Getting the balance is absolutely hard, and in an ideal situation, of course, we will know, the amount of mortality which is happening in Malaysia, which variant is actually driving mortality, which variant is actually, driving infection, which variant is actually driving reinfection among vaccinated individuals. So these are the some of the consideration we have to look before making certain decisions. But being said that, having said that, you look at certain countries like Germany, you look at certain countries like France, UK, Spain, have actually approved mix and matching, for example. Yeah. I'm pretty sure you guys heard that Angela Merkel actually took the AstraZeneca followed by Moderna vaccine before the phase 2 trials came out, actually. So,
right.
It's a give and take, yeah. So we need more data to look at the severity of the disease in Malaysia particularly, and which strain is driving the infection, you know, before making such decisions.
Right. Dr. Pina, can I get your thoughts on the one dose vaccine? So we've been talking about, you know, the two dose, the priming dose and then the booster shot. But can we talk about one dose vaccines? It's been said that these one dose vaccines will be used in certain segments of the population, but there are other reports that talk about one dose vaccines needing a booster shot after 6 months. Can they still be considered one dose vaccines if they need a booster shot in 6 months?
So when we know traditionally vaccines need two doses, we know that majority of vaccines, COVID-19 vaccines developed, requires two doses. And, you know, recently we have heard that vaccines like J&J and CanSino claiming that their one dose vaccine is actually efficient, giving high efficacy, you know, something similar to the AZ vaccine, AstraZeneca vaccine, which requires two doses, right? And this is met with skepticism simply because, you know, the platform used to design this one dose vaccine are actually the same one used in AstraZeneca and Sputnik V, for example, right? So people were skeptical, you know, actually one dose vaccine, will it really work? But recent data, this is very recent. J&J actually released primary initial data showing that their one dose vaccine is 70 to 80% efficient. And it is also efficient against variants of concern, as namely the Delta variant. Right. So for now, one dose vaccine seems to be working. Right. It is working against variants. It is working as efficient as some of the two dose vaccines. Right. Plus the advantages. Right. And, you know, because of one dose vaccines are easier to store. Number one, you don't require people to return at a set time for a second jab, something which is really hard in, say, rural communities, you know, orang asli population. You know, one vaccine, single visit, cheaper logistics. I think we should go for it.
Yeah, for now. Interesting, because for there's now. Some, so, you know, there's some doubt about Costa over CanSino and that choice, because it doesn't seem to have had approval with any other major regulatory bodies. And correct me if I'm wrong about that. But I do want to ask you about the choices that the regulatory body in Malaysia has made about. So we have Pfizer, we don't have Moderna, that's used in Singapore, for instance, and so on and so forth. Sputnik V, no show as well here. What do you make of this bewildering choice and our decisions, or the decisions that have been made on our behalf?
Yeah, it's a tricky question. Number one, if you notice, almost all, now when I say almost all, right, almost all vaccines undergo three phases of clinical trials, right? Number one, almost all vaccines are, you know, involved. I'm talking about 40 to 50,000 participants of various ages, various setting, racial profiles, environment, right? And all vaccines undergo phase one, two, three, right? Looking at efficacy in COVID, non-COVID patients. And almost all vaccines have their data published in prestigious journals which you know, change ideas about mankind, right? They're talking about New England Journal of Medicine, Lancet, and you know, Nature, for example. And sometimes it's frustrating for our NPRA to actually, you know, take longer time to approve certain vaccines when it's approved worldwide, right? For example, you know, we took some time to even approve Pfizer. Right. So I think that is something we can work on. Right.
Okay. Well, Dr. Vinod, thank you for joining us on the show tonight. That was Dr. Vinod Balasubramaniam from the Jeffrey Chia School of Medicine and Health Sciences at Monash University Malaysia. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This, but more on the discussion about the new developments of vaccines and variants. That's just in a couple of minutes. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.